Welcome to a brand new Compassion Radio 360. Honey, welcome to Compassion Radio 360 this Friday. It's good to have you back in front of the microphone.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We found an interesting little story to focus in on today, which was so quick. It was like almost flashed right by me. It was like a 15-second video, but It just captured my imagination. It is all about salvation.
Yeah, for sure. It is an unexpected salvation, really.
So, honey, what did you make of this video when you first saw it?
Well, I thought it was amazing that it even happened in the first place. And it seemed so serendipitous that it even occurred. It's one of those miracle things that you think, oh, that would never happen kind of thing. But there was a man fishing. He used a drone to take shark bait out into the ocean. This is in Pensacola, Florida. He sees what he thinks is a person struggling, realizing that there is someone out there caught in a riptide.
I think we should clarify, too, that the person who's out there, he was aware that she was in the water. And so he wasn't trying to bait sharks right on top
of
this girl who was out in the water. So he had finished his fishing for the day. He's happened to be still on the beach.
So his thought was, I wonder, since this drone will carry shark bait, which apparently is quite heavy, perhaps it'll carry a float, one of those rescue floats. He hooked it up to the drone and flew it out there and tried to lower it down so she could grab it. Now, I think he had a couple of attempts on this.
It was frustrating. It looked like he had no other options, like that was his one shot. But he managed to find another one of these rescue buoy things, flew the drone back, got it hooked up, and sent it back out there. And I can't imagine what kind of almost panic would go through his mind when he thinks, I've got a solution here to save this girl's life. But yeah. I blew my first shot. I don't know if I'm going to get a second. And just that time lapse, knowing that her life is literally on the line, and she's not even on the line yet. She's away from it.
Mm-hmm. And I think about the gal in the water, too. She may have been already to the point of nothing can be done, and I'm just going to give up here. I'm struggling. This man tried to save me, and it didn't work, and I just don't have the strength to stay up much longer.
From the video, it was a very windy day, too, so you're looking at a person that's out there barely hearing the calls for help when they first come, and so there's really nobody around, and there's no lifeguards handy. It looks like it's a very stormy day, too, so bad news all around. And yet, the next time he managed to drop one in the water, the girl makes it to the float, and he stays with a drone attached to it, didn't drop it, until he knew she had her hands on it, and then cut away as quick as possible so that the drone wouldn't get pulled down on top of her into the water. So it was pretty tricky timing. It was something I'd never been attempted before. It was something he had never attempted, obviously. But his mind was focused. He found a solution split second. He executed that solution, and this girl is alive today because of it.
Exactly. He watched for her to come back in, too. He stayed on the shore, helped her get in. He called for emergency services, and she was saved. Yeah. And like you said, honey, it doesn't seem like there would have been any other solution for her. She would have been lost at sea. I think about how coincidental this could have been for both of them.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, that's a better word, I think. But yeah, for both of them. I mean, this man had no intention of going fishing and rescuing someone from drowning. And I'm sure that this woman had no intention of getting caught in a riptide while swimming in the ocean. And who knows? It doesn't really say how far she had gone in this riptide. But just what little I know of them and the very few times I've been encountering any of them, they're hard to get out of. I mean, we had an incident with our oldest son one time when we were in California and we were at the beach running around. He was playing and he got clotheslined with a tether to a boogie board that someone was running with on the beach. And he fell. And right when he fell, this wave came and just sucked him right out.
Yeah, it was a big surf day, and those breakers are right on the shore, and it pounded him and sucked him right under.
Right. And before you and I could even stand up to run out to get him, a lifeguard just zoomed past us and was in the water in seconds and pulled him out from that. And I was so weak that I could hardly even stand up anymore when I saw this lifeguard pulling our son out of the water. That is one of those unseen heroes that shows up and rescues at the very second that it's needed.
My first impression seeing this story was, oh, brilliant. What a solution. And then I thought to myself, well, duh. What else is going to be able to get out there and get emergency relief to somebody as quick as a drone? Drones are everywhere now. Why are we not using drones all the time? And I imagine that the rescue teams are probably thinking that very thing now. I've heard of them using drones to drop in supplies, people stuck behind fire lines while they're fighting forest fires. We can probably save some lives. And of course, on the other end, drones are being used to great force in warfare now to be agents of death. The future of the mechanized war that we saw in movies back in the 80s and 90s is coming to fruition in real life now because of the power of the computation and audiovisual capabilities, even the lift abilities of these drones now, to cause great havoc. For good or for ill, drones are a technology that's going to be around forever now, I think. And this man figured out how to use it in the right way, and I'm certain that lifeguards and other kinds of first aid responders are going to be using drones like this in the future. It's going to become just part of policy. When you ever have a drone like that, someone's out stuck in a riptide, get a drone out there first and follow up with whatever you got else. But seconds matter. The story for me is a brilliant one of a guy who just engaged the problem that he saw in front of him immediately. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait for someone else to tell him what to do. So yes, this young man is a hero, because he saved a life. But more importantly, he's a thoughtful hero. He thought things through and he acted. He was proactive. Literally, someone's life was saved because of it. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a raft of spiritual principles here we could pull out of this thing, to pun a phrase. This is about salvation coming when we most need it and perhaps when we least expect it. As much as we would scream for help, if we look back at the beach and could barely see above our nose in the water and we're being sucked at 5-10 miles an hour sideways and out away from the beach, that's a desperate situation. But you're going to yell for help. But where's your help going to come from? It would have to be a miracle.
Right. Right.
So serendipity can be considered a miracle. God putting people in place to be able to solve the problem at that time, it's a miracle in itself. Do I think that God goes out of his way to select only certain miracles to express to certain people? No, I don't believe that. I think it's bad theology. But we can acknowledge that God, for whatever reasons, had these two people in that same place at the same time. And we are here to talk about it now because of what came of it.
Exactly. I think of the scripture that was so important to me, especially when you were in the hospital after having had your stroke. We were trying to get you into therapy and rehab, and it was, for us, a desperate situation. And it didn't look like anything that I was trying to get accomplished was going to happen. And it was very upsetting. And a friend was with me, and she said, "Today's the 18th. Let's look at Psalm 18. And I thought, okay, whatever. That sounds like a good plan. But that psalm absolutely rescued me in a desperate situation. God said to me, "I'm going to show up in a way that you don't expect." The reference is Psalm 18, verses 16 and 17. Now, the entire psalm talks about God rescuing us in situations that we have no control of and that we cannot rescue ourselves from, which is where this woman was. But these two verses especially will hopefully jump off the page at our listeners as well. "He reached down his hand from above me. He held me. He lifted me from the raging waters. He rescued me from my strongest enemy, from all those who sought my death, for they were too strong." Now, one might argue that this is not about someone trying to drown this woman, but the waves around her and the water and the exhaustion were her enemy at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And this rescue from above came in the form of a drone carrying a life preserver. That, to me, seems quite miraculous and quite beautiful.
And it's an instant connection to a real human being, because that girl is looking up out of the water and sees, "I can't believe I'm seeing this, but there's a drone coming my way." She doesn't think to herself, "Oh, what's a drone doing up in the sky?" That's where drones live. That's what they do. They fly. But you don't look at a drone and say, "Gee, I wonder how that drone appeared in this world." You know the drone's connected to a human being. It's like an old saying of, what is a turtle on a fence supposed to tell you? Well, someone put it there. someone is behind that action that put that thing in that place. And so that girl's in the water thinking, somebody is out there and they're trying to help me.
Yeah, someone has seen me. I am seen by someone.
Which is instant hope.
Deeply hopeful, exactly.
Yeah.
And when we know that we are seen, when we know that we are noticed in our desperate place, there brings a sense of peace to us. And perhaps then she could stop struggling a little bit, knowing mm-hmm. that someone had seen her and someone was trying desperately to help her. That is hope right there.
And it focuses the attention and the effort towards something, not just in general, in all directions all at once, which is how people drown.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about going toward a goal, even if you're a poor swimmer, but knowing that there's something out there that might save you, you go toward it. You don't flounder around hoping that thing will come to you, because that thing, that buoy, that life preserver is not a person, but a person brought it to you, and you've got to act. And so this girl did, and she's alive today for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at Psalm 121, the first line, which says, I will lift up mine eyes, in this case, unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Obviously, in Florida, this girl is not looking up to the hills. You won't find one very close to that part of Florida. But obviously, she had to look up and see something. And what came her way was, you know, as we mentioned before, astounding. This thing is flying at her to bring her help. My help comes from the Lord is the second verse in that chapter. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, and the people in it. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going and coming in and from this time forth and forevermore. The image for me is that there's a tomorrow at the end of that chapter. And because of the hope that was there and the actions that were taken and the initiative the girl showed in going towards where the help was and not despairing and sinking, she has a tomorrow.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
The image for me is that there's a tomorrow at the end of that chapter. And because of the hope that was there and the actions that were taken and the initiative the girl showed in going towards where the help was and not despairing and sinking, she has a tomorrow. I think about salvation in this case as being literal. She was saved from certain death, but at the same time, someone was a savior by bringing salvation to her and intentionally doing it and working the problem until the problem was solved. I don't know scripturally explaining it that they're really that much different. That what Jesus comes and does for us, literally doing, and not just talking about it, but living a life and giving it up for us, is that much different than what kind of salvation came to this young lady. It was something that was literal and focused on her needs at that moment, and it did give her the promise and the hope of tomorrow. I don't see much of a stretch here. I think this is a literal example in the real world of the kind of salvation that God offers us. It's not just about solving our feelings about how our sin is affecting us. Sometimes salvation comes to us to correct impossible situations, to make things possible. Maybe the grace and love and action of Jesus can be likened to that drone.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking back at the beginning of Psalm 18 as well, and in verse 6, it says, in my time of need, I called out to the Eternal. I begged God for help. He heard my voice echo to his temple, and my cry came to his ears. Now, whether or not these people in this video are followers of Christ or believers in God, I don't know. But I guarantee that someone who is in as desperate a situation as this woman was, they're praying. They're calling out for help, and they're hoping upon hope that either their cries out loud can be heard or their prayers thrown up to heaven will be heard so that help will come.
Yeah.
This is such a lesson for us to remind us that, first of all, like this man fishing, it is incumbent upon us to be aware of our surroundings, to be aware of the possibility that there are people around us that are in need. Maybe not showing it as outwardly as this woman was, screaming for help, but all around us, the people that we encounter on a daily basis have some kind of need. And God may, for his purposes, put us in their area or their vicinity to help them. The second thing is, when we cry out for help from the Lord, we don't get to choose how we're rescued.
Indeed.
And I think back on this as well from our time when you were in the hospital. I cried out for help and begged God for him to move. So when we cry out for help, God will answer that in unexpected ways sometime. And when you were preparing to go into rehab, and there seemed to be an impossible situation for you and for us moving forward in that, I did cry out to God. And I just said, God, you got to fix this, because this is impossible for me to make happen. And there's some specific things that we need to move forward in a better way for Bram's rehabilitation.
And to flesh that out a little bit, my situation after 5 days or so of being in ICU and neurofloor was, I wasn't really functional or able to respond much yet. I was very able to have panic attacks, and my brain was on fire during that time. And you couldn't leave the room for 2 seconds without me having a meltdown. So. Yeah. There was a part of my soul that was just completely on edge, and you knew that, and there was no place to put me that was going to allow you to be with me.
Right, right. So that was my prayer. God, you got to fix this. You got to figure out a way to get Bram into a situation in rehab that I can be present at all times with him.
And he answered it.
He answered it within hours, and it came about in a miraculous way. And I don't know all of the workings behind the scenes that it took to get it to work, but God showed up for us because we cried out for help and just really laid it at his feet. And I think those are two really important lessons that I take away from this story, putting it together with Psalm 18. And even in Psalm 121, how we have to look for our help. We have to look to the mountains. We have to look to the skies for our help when all around us is a raging sea and all around us looks like it's going to kill us or it's going to drag us down into the waters.
People are always in need. There's always a crisis to address. There's always something in the world. We talk a lot about compassion fatigue. And nowadays, people are saying it ain't even worth it to be empathetic about anything. In fact, it's a weakness. It's just going to drag you down. Don't bother. And we have this kind of nihilistic attitude towards the suffering of others now.
Yeah, even that it's
the church.
A sin.
Yeah, even a sin for empathy, which is nuts to me. God didn't turn away from us. In fact, he is working through history, says the Word of God, in such a way to make it possible for all mankind, every person who's ever lived, to turn to him. He doesn't spare an effort to reach out to every single last human being on this planet. So we shouldn't either. And that does not mean that we have to be super people and get out there and become these super evangelists or the super missionary or do something that impresses God.
Right.
What it means is that we are part of a body, the body of Christ, and being willing to say yes when he says, come follow me, is it. We find ourselves in situations where God says, pay attention to this. You're going to see something. And suddenly, through that kind of serendipity, we're at a place, at a time, with certain people that you just know you were made for this moment. And that God's going to use you if you say yes. That does not mean you come up with the greatest sermon ever preached. It doesn't mean necessarily anything except for what God has for you at that moment. It can be something as simple as turning to the guy to your left, say, do you have a drone? I see a girl drowning out there. I mean, it could be something as simple as observing something that somebody else is not. It could be as simple as saying, yes, I can give extra to that cause right now because I can and I should, and God's saying to do it. It could be, yes, I'll go with you. Let's go do this project together. It could be saying yes to someone coming to you and being hospitable. I don't know. There's a zillion ways that God can open up our hearts.
Well, it could be as simple as telling a cashier, I like your necklace. Or I like the color of your hair. Or just smiling and saying, I hope you're having a good day. Or how's your day going? Something like that, the internal struggles that we cannot see, that are not obvious to us out in the world. Those kind of things also rescue people a lot of times. Yeah.
Gratitude. Talk about talking to the cashier or something. I've been in a couple of situations where you tell the person that's trying to serve you is having a miserable day or just had a miserable client or customer right ahead of you, and you're the next one up. Do you stay silent because you're uncomfortable? Or do you look the person in the eye and say, I'm glad you're here doing what you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if we don't know what they're going through, even if we don't see the struggle that they've had, I think those are very important things. Those are important lessons for us to take away from not just this story, but from just being a human being. You know, we have to be human. We need to be human and allow ourselves to, even if just a little bit, feel what other people might be feeling or encounter it in a way that is drawing them out of their darkness.
Well, from simple discussions to dedicated drone deliveries, whatever it is that God enables you to participate in his redemptive and saving work, our encouragement is find a way to say yes and be willing to say yes to God. And yes, it always feels kind of scary the first time you do it, especially. But I've never, ever, honey, been in a situation where I felt so impressed by God to pray for something outlandish, where he didn't have a reason for me doing that, that I actually got to see quite often what came of that prayer. I don't think we'll know everything that ever happens, but that God's whole bucket of intentions and actions are going to be our purview. But he does, I think, graciously give us an inside track on what's happening often enough to say, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God.
Right.
And that I have a Savior who leads me day by day and has given me a life and a place in this world that I'm so grateful I have, that he allows me to be with him in his work. Those things, I think, come to us so often if we just say yes once in a while. Any closing thoughts?
Well, this is our opportunity to say yes, our opportunity to be aware of the world around us, and our opportunity to allow God to use whatever means he desires to rescue us, and to be willing to accept rescue when God sends it from whatever means he chooses.
Yeah, good word. And that's where I'll wrap it up today. I got plenty of deep thoughts on this one. And if you're ever stuck in deep waters, may God send you a drone like this young lady got. May he make us be drone operators sometimes to be the ones that actually step in. Great morals for the story. And that's all we got for Compassion Radio's 360 for this week. We'll be back Monday with our next Compassion Radio, Chasing the Word on the Red Letters of Jesus. Thanks for joining us.
Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before.
Will you help us today? Friends, really, we need you now to step up. Please give generously, even sacrificially, right away. I know that God will be pleased if we do. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478.
Our mail address is Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
We need you, friend, so contact us today.